trustworthy, always reliable. Semper Fi. For Marines. And for us. Always faithful. Yes. Naomi. It is an attitudinal and issue. Absolutely correct. We can give in and give and then we don't read correctly. And it's a choice. And that is why some people, not necessarily believers, they may be human basically in their outlook, and it's sufficient in them, will say, you know, it really happens to you, it's where you respond to what happens to you. And they can say that in one way, and it's a correct way, that your attitude makes all of the difference. But the question is, how do I muster up the attitude? I'm either an eternal optimist, and I tend to be fairly optimistic as a person. You know, I can see the glass half full. But whether your temperament is optimistic and that sort of thing or not, even if you're just always seeing gloom and doom, no matter what happens, temperamentally we are different. Nevertheless, for the child of God, there is the knowledge, knowing. Tribulation produces perseverance or patience. And patience produces experience, proven character. And then this yields in the end that kind of peace that comes from I know God. I trust Him. He has been faithful. He will be faithful. I believe that. I'm going to go to the bank with that. I'm going to live on the basis of that. That's hope. Confident expectation that God loves you, that He can be relied upon to take you through, not spare you from, but to take you through all of those vicissitudes of life. When he says that he is the brother and their fellow traveler in the kingdom, at that time, obviously he's not talking about the millennial kingdom, which hadn't yet occurred. But he is talking about Christ's rule. He is talking about the ultimate kingdom. And that we may be called upon to go through suffering now for the ultimate victory later. And until then, we are to endure. We are to remain steadfast in our faith. We read, finally, in I think we may get through this one verse. Someone said they wasn't sure and he was willing to wager today, but we'll see. We're almost there. If I can turn the pages quickly enough. Go ahead, do it. I hear a plea. I will have to take this under advisement that maybe we ought not to crawl, but we could maybe lope along a little bit. Sorry. At the end of verse 9, I was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember, he had said this at the very beginning of the book of Revelation when he talked about his own reason for being there. And so he repeats this here again, that it is because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of God. Now that's an interesting reason for someone to be suffering, for the word of God. There's more than one reason that people suffer for the word of God. Sometimes people suffer for the word of God because they preach it and because they teach it. And because they're persecuted because of it. That's one way, and surely that applied to the Apostle John. They're persecuted because of the Word of God. Another reason that people get persecuted for the Word of God is when they obey it. When they live by it. When others know that you're living by it. And you become a source of scandal and a source of resentment to them because they know that you're a believer. And the way you're responding and handling life is something that they would like to be able to do. And they don't, and they can't, and they resent it. Or they don't like the fact that you're Miss Goody Two Shoes. They don't like your attitude of godliness. You know, I don't like people like that. Ooh. People just don't like people that are good sometimes. Sad, but true. So for the Word of God, and for those who choose to live godly in this world, the Scripture says that those who choose to live godly in this world will suffer persecution. It says live godly. Not just believe godly, but live godly. Because it means that your life becomes a testimony. Your life becomes not just a testimony to your faith in Christ. Your life becomes a condemnation of others. Whether you choose and intend for it to be that or not, the fact of the matter is people think that you're judging them because you live by a different standard. You know, if you don't do what they're doing, you don't react as they're reacting, you don't participate with them and the things that they want to do, then they take that as judgment of them, and they resent it. And so for the Word of God, because you believe it and because you're living by it, others can become ticked at you, and at least resent you, mildly or majorly. For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and with this we'll close, we'll try to cover more ground, Milam. Hereafter. Not in the hereafter, but after today. For the testimony of Jesus Christ, understand. I appreciate his candor and honesty in expressing himself. Always. The testimony is found in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession with the mouth. Confession when you walk forward at the end of the service. That's an act of confession, public testimony. The public testimony is saying, I stand with Jesus. When I'm baptized, in some parts of the world, it can cost you to be baptized in a public manner. It can cost you. That's a public testimony. The testimony of Jesus is recognizing, first of all, that he's your Lord and he's your Savior. And you're confessing to that. But that he's also your Lord. In the sense that he rules your life. That's what Lord means. The one who's your ruler. Jesus can say, I can call somebody Lord and kind of keep all the control back here. But if he's my Lord, that means I say, Lord, you have the control. And for us ego-bound and driven people, giving him all the control is a lot to ask. Because it means, you know, subserving our own wishes and our own desire to control underneath him. That's hard temperamentally for some of us to do, especially the more heart-driven of us. But that's the only way to learn these things. By the grace of God, you can even submit your desire to be in total control. You can submit that to his control. And learn the freedom, the liberation that comes from his being your Lord. And you marching as his slave in accordance with his orders. Why? Because he's a despot? No, but because he loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan is so wonderful if you march along with it that you're crazy not to. Go for it. Live it and learn it. And understand that by doing so, you're going to have a testimony. For a believer, the most important thing about us is our testimony. That is to say, how people see us, what they see in us, in our lives, because it infects, it influences them. And we can have a good testimony or we can have a bad testimony. But the testimony of Jesus Christ is meant to be a good one. It may cause negative reaction. We talked about that a moment ago. But nevertheless, your testimony is who you are living in this world as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's your testimony. Who you are living in this world as a believer in Jesus Christ. Who are you? And how are you living in this world? That's your testimony. It's for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ that he was in exile on the island of Patmos and going through trouble and learning how to persevere for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. But man, the rewards! We're going to talk about that later as he catches a vision of the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord now in a time of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we who, like the readers that John wrote to in the seven churches, are those who have trouble. It may not be of exactly the same type. Not of the same type they were having, or not of the same type that others who are our contemporaries are having. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus himself tells us that in this world, in this fallen world, we are going to have trouble. Tribulation, trial, testing. But that we are to rejoice knowing that you will never cause us and leave us alone, but go through the trouble with us, lifting us up, bearing us up, so that we learn how to persevere. That is, we learn how you persevere. It's the perseverance of God in and through the saints that brings glory to Jesus Christ, not our true grit. We just pray, Father, we will learn how to let go and let God be our strength and our power in the middle of trouble. to take us through again and again, so that we begin to respond in predictably godly ways, and so that we begin to anticipate that you will do it again. Bear us up and take us through. How we love you for that, and how grateful we are to belong to you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.